Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and this evening we're talking ghost stories, your real-life ghost stories. Love to hear about them. You know, I won't even limit you. If you want to call in and talk about your experience of seeing UFOs or Bigfoot, any kind of cool paranormal settings, or if you have questions, concerns, you've got a ghost and you want to know what to do and how to deal with it, give us a call. We will try to field those questions for you as well. Let me make a couple of quick mentions. Again, there is something really cool. Dead Space Downfall is a must-have feature that bridges the narrative gap between the ongoing Image comic series and the highly anticipated Electronic Arts video game, and completes one of the most ambitious and disturbing multimedia story arcs in recent horror history. The story is this: an ancient religious artifact has been recovered by a deep space mining ship, and for the crew of the USG Ishimura, life has become a living hell. Unearthed on a faraway planet during a mining operation, the relic is worshipped by some, even seen as proof of God. But when it's removed from its resting place and brought on the ship, the artifact unleashes a long-dormant alien race, one bent on ripping apart and taking over every human aboard. Their screams can be heard in space, but only the slashers are listening. This is an amazing new movie, and it's a video game. Again, a holy relic has been discovered, and it doesn't lead to heaven. Meet your maker with the release of Dead Space Downfall, the must-have feature-length movie prequel to one of the hottest new video games of the year. We have a trivia contest going on right now. 10 questions. First caller, they can call in and give us all of the answers correctly, will win a very cool prize pack. We're going to give you a Blu-ray copy of Dead Space Downfall, the movie, and Dead Space from EA Games for your PS3. You can answer these questions for us. First question, name the three main actors in the classic horror movie Burnt Offerings. Second question, the Reapers feed on what two things in Blade 2? What was the final body count by the end of the first Friday the 13th movie? When Freddy calls Nancy in A Nightmare on Elm Street, what part of Freddy comes through the phone? What Dawson's Creek actress also appeared in Halloween H2O? Here's a cool one. What classic horror movie did Clint Eastwood make a cameo in? Was it The Blob, Revenge of the Creature, or I Was a Teenage Werewolf? And Johnny Depp, his first movie debut was in the movie Nightmare on Elm Street. He comes back in the Nightmare on Elm Street series, but he does a cameo in which movie from the Nightmare on Elm Street series? Also, what classic character from the TV series Bewitched reprised his role in the supernatural-themed soap opera Passions? Ninth question, what is the name of Haley Joel Osment's character in The Sixth Sense? And the final question, there were 10 Friday the 13th movies, not including Jason versus Freddy. There were 10 Friday the 13th movies. In how many of them was Jason the killer? Okay. So if you think that you have those answers, give us a call. Let's see if you can win that prize pack. I wanted to also make a quick mention. One of the questions we asked tonight was about John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. He's going to be out, and so are Tim and I. You can come out and join us. We're going to be at Crypticon 2008. It is the third annual Crypticon. It's a horror movie convention. Really cool stuff. Going to go on November 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Radisson in Roseville, Minnesota. A lot of great horror movie guests are going to be out there. I hope that you will come out and join it. If you want more information, go to myspace.com/CrypticonMN. That's CrypticonMN. You can get the information there, or you can go directly to the main website at CrypticonMinneapolis.com. Again, that's CrypticonMinneapolis.com. And final little bit of news I want to mention. Coming up on November 30th, Dave Tango from the Ghost Hunters, I don't know if a lot of you are aware of this, but Dave Tango suffers from Tourette syndrome. And along with his father, they've planned an afternoon of an all-star entertainment to benefit the organization for Tourette syndrome, featuring the cast of Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters. You can meet Dave Tango, Grant Wilson, Jason Hawes, Steve Gonsalves, and Chris Williams. On hand also will be Johnny Maestro and the Brooklyn Bridge, and Steve, and I'll probably butcher this, Maglio's tribute to Frank Sinatra. Dave Tango is a member of TAPS, the Ghost Hunters. He has Tourette syndrome, and both the father and son, Bruce and Dave, have worked tirelessly to help the New Jersey Tourette Syndrome Council together and raise money. Tickets, if you are interested in going out there and meeting everybody, tickets are only $75 per person. They include your dinner. Doors open at noon. The show starts at 1 p.m. at Temple Emmanuel in Westfield, New Jersey. You can call Bruce Tango, 908-256-4980, or you can call Michael Kenny at 908-232-6770, extension 129. You can get tickets by contacting them. Again, Bruce at 908-256-4980, or Michael Kenny at 908-232-6770. Extension 129. Go on out and meet the entire cast of Ghost Hunters. Jason, Grant, Steve Gonzalez, Dave Tango, and Chris Williams will be on hand. It's going to be a great time. The money's going to go to a wonderful cause. We hope that you'll be a part of that with us. And I also mentioned for the scary story contest, we're keeping that going through November here. If you have a scary story, I want you to write it down in a novel for me, you know, like a novelization version. We don't want your real ghost stories. We want your fun ghost stories, scary stuff. It can be between 1,500 to 2,500 words. Just email them in to dave@darknessradio.com. And we're going to read some of the best ones on air on an upcoming show. We're going to also put them together into a collection that we're going to sell to raise money for Second Harvest Heartland, to raise money for food shelves. It's going to be great. So if you, again, want to be an author and you would like one of your stories published, submit it. And if we can get it and get it approved, we'd like to have it be a part of our book. So we can do that. And again, you'll get a chance at winning some cool prizes as well. We're going to go right now. We've got some callers on hold here. We're going to have them come on and share their stories. Kimberly, you're on the line at Darkness Radio. Thanks for calling in this evening.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Kim.
How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for giving us a call. So now you have a haunted house story for us, huh?
I do, yeah.
Okay. What's your story?
It's sort of a long story, and I was thinking about how to make it short. But initially, I lived in a house here in Pasadena, California.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up doing research and figuring out the house was built in, like, 1914. It was a little craftsman bungalow. But before I moved into the house, I like to, you know, like, do a little sage and, you know, sort of clear the energy.
Sure.
And I was in the bedroom, and this was the first thing that happened. I opened the closet to sort of sage in there, and I saw this face. It looks sort of like, and this is weird, like a Balinese mask or something.
All right.
Huh?
I said, all right. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
And it was just hanging in there?
I'm sorry?
The face was just kind of hanging out in the closet? Was it, did you see any other part of it, just the face?
No, it was just the face, and it was like hanging in midair.
Yikes.
It was the strangest thing I'd ever seen. But, you know, of course you say, oh, well, it's my imagination. It's a new house, you know.
Right.
Of course, when I said, you know, go away, it just disappeared. So I didn't really think much of it. And then it just started happening where it was like I would be at night at like 2 a.m. all the time, 3 a.m. I could feel something. I'd be laying on the sofa and something would come by and really just like sofa. My girlfriend came by about 2 months later. I hadn't told her any of this stuff. And she walks into the house. She was a psychic, and she walks into my house and says, there's something wrong with this house. There are bones somewhere around here under this house. So that sort of freaked me out. She did a little bit of a seance thing. She was supposedly talking to the spirit of a guy there, and he said that he hadn't had anybody to talk to in, like, 6 years.
Wow.
Well, I had been told by the previous landlord that the woman who lived there before me lived there for 6 years, and my friend had no idea about that. Fast forward a little bit. I lived in this house for 5 years. But while I lived there, I was scratched. The CD player, even after I unplugged it, would go ahead and turn itself on in the bedroom. There was a guy that not only I would see, but he would walk into my backyard
mm-hmm.
and sort of look around like he was looking for something and then walk back out and disappear. There was a little girl who would wear, she looked like turn of the 20th century. She wore this little pinafore. I and another woman actually communicated with her, and when we asked her, you know, where she came from, she would point up towards the mountains. I did have a medium come in because I got to the point where I was feeling like whoever the bad spirit was, there's a lot of spirits around I could feel, but whoever the bad spirit was felt like a serial killer. I didn't tell the medium this, but I got verification of it, and then some keys were actually found on the property by some construction workers. A friend of mine gave it to another medium that she knew and didn't tell him anything about it. And he said he saw in a basement a woman being stabbed to death, and that the keys didn't belong to my house but the house next door. And I found out 2 days later that there actually was a basement in the house next door. So, oh, and I had an investigation done. There's all sorts of EVPs caught, too.
Interesting. So, and you still live there?
No. I lived there for 5 years.
Oh, okay.
When he was talking about his story, I was thinking, you know, I know some of those feelings. It was like something was almost preventing me from leaving. And we did a seance one night, and we tried to help the spirits to cross through, and we think that whoever this man's victims were, we got them to be able to cross. And so I was essentially released about 2 months after that.
All right. Well, Kim, thanks a lot for calling and being part of the show. We appreciate it.
Okay.
You have a good night.
Let me call. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah, that's some weird stuff. You know, you start opening up. And again, if you want to call up and tell us your ghost story, give us a call at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. Everybody seems to have a ghost story. That's kind of what I've liked about this whole field is, you know, when you probably talk about this 6-7 years ago, you bring up ghost stories, people kind of look at you and roll their eyes. Now everybody has a story. I meet every walk of life, you know, from housewives to attorneys to judges to movie and record executives that have ghost stories. As a matter of fact, there's a cool series I just caught, Celebrity Ghost Stories on Bio Channel. And they had Sammy Hagar telling his story about how his father came to visit him one night, kind of being belligerent and strange, and Sammy shuffled him out the door. He was used to being kind of, I guess he was like a homeless vagrant drunk, and Sammy kind of ushered him out the door, and shortly later got a phone call that his dad had passed away states away on a park bench. They found a body. So, you know, Sammy Hagar was actually visited by the ghost of his father shortly after his death. He said his big regret was not letting his dad in the room. Interesting stuff. We got another caller online with us. Kristen, we're going to take your call real quick before we go to break. Thanks for calling us.
Hi.
All right. What's your story?
Okay. Last year, we put my grandmother in the nursing home.
Okay.
And she had Alzheimer's, and she would kind of tell us that when she would wake up, people would be staring at her, and we thought it was part of her illness, which it could have been. But then when we moved her out of her her apartment, it was actually a home, and it had been split into two, the upstairs apartment and downstairs apartment. We were cleaning out her area, and my mom and I were walking down the hall, and my mom just said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And she takes off down the hall, and I'm, of course, following her, and we get to the back bedroom, and she looks in there, and she goes, okay. And the room was real cold, and I said, "Who are you talking to?" She said, "I don't know. I saw someone walk by, and I could swear it was your cousin." And I said, "Well, obviously nobody's here. It's very cold." She goes, "Well, I know I saw someone walk by." So we just left the room, and we went back out to the living room and kept working. And a few minutes later, my cousin shows up. And my mom said, "Were you here before?" And she said, "No." And she said, "You're sure you didn't come in the back door?" She goes, "No, I don't have a key." So we just kind of blew it off, and the same week, my aunt came to stay, and we hadn't told her about this incident, and she was staying in my grandmother's bedroom, and she got up to walk down the hall, and she saw a person standing there also, and she told us about it, and then we told her about, you know, what my mom had seen, and they actually had seen a very similar thing. They saw what they believed was a woman from about the waist down walking down the hallway. And so the same week, we were also, as we were cleaning things out, we were talking about it in the living room where we were kind of laughing. It was my sister, my cousin, myself, and my aunt, and all of a sudden the television turned on. And I looked over at my cousin. I said, "That is so stupid. What are you doing?" And she goes, "Nothing." And I kind of looked around, and we found the remotes, and they were nowhere near anyone. And this happened. We kind of laughed, turned the TV off, and this happened about 3 or 4 more times before we actually left the home. And it was kind of a freaky place.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And do you guys still have access to the duplex as well, or no?
Well, we don't. And the odd part is my aunt and uncle had actually owned it at one time when my grandma had first moved in there, and then they had moved and sold the place. And I know that since then, because it's a very small town, that no one has stayed in there very long. So, and I haven't obviously talked to the person who owns it, but no one has stayed in there for probably longer than about 2 to 3 months.
Weird. Yeah, it's a strange deal. Well, thank you very much for calling in this evening, Kristen.
Yep, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Hey, you guys, stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio. If you want to call in and be a part of tonight's show and tell us about one of your live ghost stories, give us a call at 651-989-5855. 651-989-5855. And we'll put you on the air, talk to you. And I'll tell you what, we'll just have you call in right now if you want to be a part of the trivia contest. Call in. We'll ask you the questions. Whoever can get the most questions right. Ben has got the answers. We're going to give you, Ben, you just jot down their names and phone numbers, and we'll see who gets the most right between now and the end of the show. The winner will call back and bring them on the air, okay? All right, you guys, give a call. If you win, you're going to get a shot at a really cool setup. We've got, you receive a Blu-ray copy of Dead Space, the movie, Dead Space Downfall, and a copy of Dead Space from EA Games for the PlayStation 3. If 10 great questions, give us a call. We'll be back with more right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Appreciate you tuning in. We're talking about ghost stories tonight. If you have a ghost story you'd like to talk about on air, give us a call. If you're having a haunting right now and you're looking for help, you can give us a call and talk about it. Or I recommend also getting in touch with the TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com. They will do an investigation. They're a great group of professionals that can come into your home and do an investigation for you to try to get you the answers that you may seek. Go to the TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com. You know, one of the things that got me involved in this, again, having my own experiences growing up and seeing spirits, my grandmother coming to visit me a few times, my grandfather as well, some of the stories that really intrigued me, we had a friend of the family who had passed away. He had committed suicide in his home, and he lived in part of a duplex owned by his brother and sister-in-law. His nickname was Bear. Bear had actually lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. And the family came home to actually, I guess, hear the last gunshot ring out. And they came in and found Bear had shot himself in the chest a number of times and killed himself. Well, they went on, and things just went on as normal. But the strange deal was, I guess, every night Bear had a pattern in the house. They would hear him, you know, get up from the living room, walk into the kitchen, get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, get into the bedroom, sit on the bed, take off his fake leg, and drop it on the floor. And after his passing, the sounds continued. It unnerved them so much that they ended up actually selling the duplex and getting rid of it. But that was one of the stories I heard growing up that was always amazing to me. Another one, my uncle is an insurance agent for State Farm back in Illinois. And he shared an office with a realtor by the name of Jim DiRienza. And Jim had come from humble beginnings. And when he married and got together with his wife, he didn't have a whole lot. And he gave her a very small engagement ring. And for like their 25th wedding anniversary, he was doing really well in real estate. He went out and bought her this gorgeous, huge diamond ring. And my uncle said, well, we got to get some photographs of that so that we've got, you know, insurance coverage for you. So they start taking photographs with a Polaroid camera of this ring. Reflected in the ring in every photograph is an image of Jim DiRienza's mom who passed away. And there's teeth missing from her smile that match exactly. They're looking around the room seeing if any of the pictures of his mom are reflecting off of this diamond. They couldn't find anything that even looked similar. And the strange thing was the facial features changed in each photograph. Like she'd kind of be looking a different way and smile. So interesting stuff. That was always one of the stories too that grabbed me growing up and listening to my, not only did my uncle see it, but my aunt who worked for my uncle, and they're different sides of the family. My uncle is on my dad's side. My aunt's on my mom's side. My aunt worked for my uncle and she saw the photographs too. Just really floored them all. So it's great stories like that. That's really kept me going, reading some fantastic books. In the studio with us tonight, we, as you guys know, every Sunday, usually we're joined by our national news correspondent, Bree Sanders, and our book critic, Susan Cummins. And because they're in town, we had them in station tonight. So they did their news and book reviews. And now we're actually, I want to talk to you, Bree. Let me open up your mic and tell us a little bit about this. What ghost stories wise, what got you involved in the paranormal? Were you, you know, visited as a child, or have you seen things?
No, actually, as a child, I don't remember having, you know, a ton of experiences. I had one that stood out when I was about 6 years old, and it, you know, it's hard to explain, but I was sleeping, and I was woken up by kind of, it was like a male voice was speaking in my ear,
right,
and I opened my eyes, and it still was speaking, but there was nobody there. And it was like someone was literally right up to my ear, you know, nothing threatening, just really awkward. I mean, obviously uncomfortable for a six-year-old, you know.
Right.
But that kind of sparked my interest, I guess. And over the years, I just had various experiences. They started getting a lot more heavy when I moved out of my parents' house. I was about 18 or 19 years old, and I moved to Los Angeles by myself and started having more experiences there. So,
you know, it's interesting, too. When I was about 5 years old, we went out to Texas to visit my great-aunt and great-uncle Charlie, and my grandfather was in town. I was sharing a room with my grandfather. I had a bed close to the wall by the window, and I remember this vividly to this day. Now, my grandfather's sleeping in the bed next to me, and I'm laying there facing the window, but the door's open so I can see the shaft of light, and I see a shadow come into the shaft of light, and then I very clearly hear, "I'll go to the other side to get David." And I didn't recognize the voice at all. And I thought it was maybe my dad or my mom. But as I'm watching the shadow, it just suddenly dissolves. It doesn't go right or left mm-hmm. and leave. It just, mm-hmm. it's gone.
Wow.
And I remember just laying there whimpering for what seemed like an eternity, hoping my grandfather would wake up. And of course, he was like a chainsaw.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
snoring. So I'm like, Grandpa, Grandpa. So it's kind of funny that you had the same, around that same age, having that kind
right.
of... kind of activity happened. Mm-hmm. Susan, how about you? Now, have you, I know we met, had the opportunity to meet over a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and you've been involved in this. Now, this isn't your normal field of, tell people what you do in your real life.
I'm part owner of how would I describe it? Sort of an anti-aging practice. I work with...
Voodoo and...
No.
Oh, okay.
A couple surgeons, and I do all the non-invasive treatment programs.
And it must work, because folks, if you go to our website at Darkness Radio and click on the book section, she's 93 years old, and she looks great. But so... How about you now? Did you start having paranormal experiences when you were a child? Or
yeah, when I was very young. And, of course, I didn't know what it was. But, you know, when you talk with people in this field of work, a lot of times they'll say, you know, it happened when I was young, really couldn't put my finger on it. I would hear my name being whispered to me a lot when I was trying to sleep, and it would unnerve me to where I'd go crawl in bed with my parents.
Mm.
But strange, you know, little things like that. And then when I got to, I was over at Washington State University living in a basement of sort of a home. It was sort of one of those daylight basements where everything echoed because it was built into the side of the hill. And first experience with my roommate, we were sleeping in the living room on a high to bed because her bed hadn't made it there yet. She was moving in. And we heard snoring. And it reverberated off the walls.
It was my grandfather.
It was your grandfather.
That's how loud it was.
And I hit her to tell her to stop. I mean, it was just obnoxious. It was just echoing. And she sat up and looked at me, and we looked at each other, and it continued. It was like this breathing type of snoring. It wasn't like,
right.
That was pretty good of me anyway. But then things started to happen there. Things would fly off the wall, and it was pretty amazing. So I've had a lot of
very cool.
Crazy
well, let's
things.
Come back. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the other stuff you've had happen and some of the EVPs you're great
sure.
at getting. We're going to take a quick break here. Everybody stay tuned. If you want to be a part of tonight's show and tell us about your personal ghost stories, give us a call. You're listening to Darkness Radio, your paranormal home, every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight. We'll be back with more. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Although with all this happy, upbeat music this evening, it's just kind of... Hey, welcome back to your crazy home for paranormal stories. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, you're listening to Darkness Radio. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight. This evening, we're taking your calls. If you have stories you'd like to share with us about your paranormal experiences, we'd love to hear about it. You can give us a call. Let's finish up, Susan. We'll tell you, we have a couple calls coming in, but let me hear a little bit more about what you were going through, some of the other experiences you've had.
Which experiences should I talk about?
Can I go on?
Yeah,
after what do you think is one of the creepiest things you've ever had happen, or is it currently happening?
I have current things happening. Yes, a lot of my friends know I have a few spirits in my house right now. Like to wake me up at about 2 a.m. Love to torment my poor dogs, and it's been really crazy.
Now, not only your dogs are being bothered by these things, right? But you're also you have a motion detector light?
I have a motion sensor outside of my sliding glass doors. And I stopped giving energy to the spirits that were in my house, stopped communicating, you know, doing my EVP work, et cetera. And my motion sensor light outside kept coming on and off all night long. I felt like I was in a lighthouse. It was just absolutely obnoxious. And there was nothing there. I mean, it would happen when I'm standing there looking out into my yard. Nothing was there.
Now, you're a petite little lady.
Thank you.
You're living in a haunted area.
Uh-huh.
Does this freak you out?
No.
No?
Doesn't I mean, bother? Sometimes, the very first time I heard an EVP in my house, when I turned, I was having K2 activity, and I turned on my brand new Panasonic that I really do love, and I heard this literal scream, sort of this growl. Yeah, it took my breath away for a minute or two.
Now, we were at the Palmer House last night.
Yeah.
And you were doing a little EVP work, right?
Yeah.
And now this is going to be a little rudimentary, guys. I'm just going to have her hold her recorder up to the microphone here.
Yeah, I'll try
so
to
she's
going to
play this.
People
let me
out.
Let me see now. What? Tell me a little bit about this before we play this EVP real quick.
Yeah, I just want to let you know a little bit. I was there with my friend Kim, who's also here tonight, and a few other people. Lisa, I can't remember Lisa's last name. Anyway, we were in what they call the door room of the Palmer House, which is in the basement, and crazy stuff started happening. Pebbles were being thrown at us, weird smells. I felt nauseous. We were getting crazy K2 activity. It was really pretty creepy, so I did some EVP work.
Now, how many EVPs did you get?
You know, I was getting EVPs everywhere, but at 10, it was the same thing. It was this growl, which, and then we could hear yeses and noes, but I have the very last one that I have queued up. If
all
you
right,
want to hear
now, okay, what? Okay, do you want a precursor and tell us what you hear?
A lot of it was just sort of angry screaming. And, of course, everybody that was in the room was saying, you know, this is a real negative energy. I mean, I was asking for my angels to come in and protect me. Kim was trying to surround herself with white light. And it goes back to, of course, having to have some sort of belief system. It did not feel right. It was heavy. It was negative. And I think the EVP reflects it.
All right, let's go ahead and
all right, I'm going to try not. Hopefully I won't blast people out, okay?
Yeah, don't worry. You bring it up. All right, we got a good guy running the boards
right,
over
cool.
here. He'll take care of it for you. Now that's the voice
I think
of your friend.
Yeah, I think that was.
So that screaming is just that's unreal. It's even louder than your voice, Kim, and you're standing right there talking into the recorder. Go ahead, you can hit your button. There you go.
I'm about a foot away.
About a foot away from it, but it's coming through that loud. That's unbelievable. Ugh.
Now, Mark and Debbie Constantino, I talked to them about the possibilities that this could be my recorder, and they said sometimes when you have it on voice activation, mm-hmm. that it is sort of like a precursor to the activation coming on. I did not have it on voice activation at all, so...
That's just straight away.
Huh? It was straight away. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right, we're going to take a call here. We've got Brian is online with us. Brian, thanks for calling this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead now. What's your story?
This occurred when I was about 9 or 10. There's a place here in town that one time was a house for one of the bankers here. And he was murdered in the home. The legend says that he was shot in the head by his son, although that never was fully confirmed who killed him. But... this one room, you got, like, eerie feelings. You always felt like somebody was, like, looking at you. We were renting it as offices. We had one night, we had a friend of ours that decided to use the offices overnight. And he had a dog that was just barking that, like, he wanted in. But as soon as the guy would open the door to let the dog in, dog backed off. He wanted nothing to do with the room. And just stuff like that.
Interesting.
And just really, really eerie things in that one room of that house. So.
Now, did you ever actually hear or see something yourself, or was it just always the reaction of the animal?
You know, I was only 9 at the time. I remember, like, hearing my name getting called once or twice, but I you know, now that I'm older, I don't know what that truly, if I was just hearing things when I was younger or what. But I'll tell you, the room itself, you got the feeling that you were just being watched, that you got the feeling of, why are you here? Get out, you know? And you just got that over...
You know, yeah, there's nothing more unnerving to me is when I'm somewhere and either my pets or my friend's pets will start hissing at something that nobody else can see or growling at it. You know, I've got a little, I've got a big tough dog. He's a little Toto, a little Karen Terrier, right? The cute little small guy. And he'll be standing in my living room. And Marianne Winkowski, the ghost whisperer, came on. She told me I do have somebody. I have a transient ghost that, because I live in an apartment complex, this ghost likes to wander around in different people's apartments. But I will get, and there'll be times I'll just be sitting there and all of a sudden Toto will get up and look into the corner and just start. And you know what? I'm almost okay with hearing a voice. But when the dog starts like hackling up and starts snarling, that's a little unnerving to me.
Yeah.
That or have you ever seen like a cat just go nuts for no reason? Standing there watching. Oh, that's crazy.
Yep.
Goofy stuff.
Or they'll just start watching intently this one corner where there's nothing there, not even a fly, and you're like, what are you looking at?
Exactly. Hey, Brian, let me put you on hold. We'll get you a copy of the new movie Dead Space Downfall. Okay? It's out on DVD and Blu-ray, high def right now from Anchor Bay and EA. You want to hold on for a second?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of the show. We appreciate it. And thank you all for calling in this evening. If you do have ghost stories you want to talk about on there, feel free to give us a call at 651-989-5855. 651-989-5855. I want to get Ben, when she's done with this call, I want to get her on the line because she had an experience last night when we were at the Palmer House. A little unnerving, too, for her out in Sauk Center, Minnesota. If you're looking for a place to investigate, give them a call. You can set something up out there. We're going to take a break real quick here. We got about the last break of the evening, so stick with us. You're listening to Darkness Radio right here on your home for Paranormal Activity. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. A holy relic has been discovered, and it doesn't lead to heaven. Meet your maker with the release of Dead Space Downfall, the must-have feature-length movie prequel to one of the hottest new video games of the year. Get Dead Space Downfall on DVD and Blu-ray high def today from Anchor Bay Entertainment and EA. It's a great movie. Got a chance to see it the other day. Freaky, great animation. It's a fantastic movie, and it's a precursor for the video game that we're going to give away. Which is, again, the winner of our grand prize this evening is going to get Dead Space Downfall, the DVD, on Blu-ray. And he's also going to get the what do we have here, the Dead Space video game from EA for the PlayStation 3. And the lovely Ben is in there telling me that we have a winner. So let's go to the line here. And now you think you've got all the questions for us here answered?
Yeah.
Wow, I like that. Confidence. All right, let's go. Question number one. Name the three actors in the classic horror movie Burnt Offerings.
Bette Davis, Oliver Reed, and Karen Black.
Okay, very good. That's a good one. All right, the Reapers in the movie Blade 2, they feed on two things. What are those two things?
Humans and vampires.
Damn it. See, I would have got that wrong. I totally would have gone with McNuggets and Cheese Whiz. But that's me. All right, what was the final body count by the end of Friday the 13th, the first movie?
10.
Very good. You know, a lot of people think it was 13, and that was like a misnomer for a long time. As a matter of fact, Kevin Bacon is one of the first murders in that movie. He gets
you start out good movies.
Yeah, killing Kevin Bacon, I agree. All right, in number four question here, we have when Freddy Krueger calls Nancy in A Nightmare on Elm Street, what part of Freddy comes through the phone?
His tongue.
That's right. I thought it was his charm and wit, but you are right. His tongue. Remember, it comes out, that sticky goo sticks to her lip. That was gross.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
All right, so now this is the geek question I had to throw in as a Dawson's Creek fan. What Dawson's Creek actress also appeared in Halloween H2O?
That would be Michelle Williams.
Very good. See, somebody knows how to use Google. I think we've got a Googler here. All right, what classic horror movie did Clint Eastwood have a cameo in? Was it The Blob, Revenge of the Creature, or I Was a Teenage Werewolf?
Well, it's definitely not The Blob or I Was a Teenage Werewolf because he's not in that. So
Revenge of the Creature. Do you happen to know who was in The Blob? This is extra credit points.
As a cameo, I don't know. Well, I know
Steve McQueen was actually in the original Blob. And Michael Landon from Highway to Heaven and Little House on the Prairie was the werewolf, and I was a teenage werewolf. So it was a little bit of a trick question. But, yeah, Revenge of the Creature. And Clint Eastwood is in it, like, for, like, 30 seconds. He's in the background picking up a mouse and putting it in his pocket. And that's about the extent of it in a lab.
That's an awesome scene, not going to lie.
Exactly. He should have won right there. Johnny Depp was in the very first Nightmare on Elm Street movie. He returns to do a cameo because he was told this was going to be the final movie. What's the name of that movie?
Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
That's right. He showed up in that for a brief second. I think he was in the TV and he gets yanked back by Freddy. All right. Now, this one I'm surprised if you know. What classic character from the TV series Bewitched reprised his role in the Supernatural-themed soap opera Passions?
Yeah, this was a tough one. I had to think about it for a while. But it's Dr. Bombay.
That's right. I think it was one of the main characters who's a witch on the show started evoking me. I thought it was going to be a joke, but damn, the guy actually showed up. I got the ladies in here. Do you guys remember Dr. Bombay from the TV series? Yeah. Very cool. All right. What is the name? I've been watching this in the chat room. Everybody's like, I can remember the first name, but nobody can remember his last name, which should be natural. What is the name of Haley Joel Osment's character in The Sixth Sense?
His name is Cole Sear.
Sear. Exactly, and he sees ghosts. See, I can't believe people didn't know that. Very good. All right, now here it is. This is for the enchilada. This is for the big prize.
Drum roll.
That's right. There were 10 Friday the 13th movies, not including Jason versus Freddy. In how many of them was Jason the killer?
Lucky number 8.
That's correct. Good job. Hey, congratulations. Yeah, I think it was the first Friday the 13th was his mom. And then it was like in Friday the 13th, part 4 or whatever, it was a psychiatrist dressed up like Jason committing these murders. And at the end,
Didn't he eat his heart or something like that?
Well, no, that was actually a different one. That was Jason does appear in that one in the beginning. They kind of blow him up. And then at the autopsy table, the black mortician picks up the heart and eats it. And then he keeps jumping his soul from different one. But yeah, in the one movie, it was a psychologist. Took over Jason's role to murder somebody and blame it on Jason, and then he ends up dying at the end, and they see the mask that it wasn't really Jason Voorhees. But good job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are the winner this evening, and the prize, again, that you're going to get is a Blu-ray copy of Dead Space Downfall, the movie, and then you're going to get, as a special addendum to that, you're going to get Dead Space from EA Games for your PlayStation 3.
Hell yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening and playing along with us this evening. We appreciate it. I'm going to put you back on hold. I'm going to have Ben take the information from you, and we'll get that out in the mail to you this week, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Weston. We appreciate you calling in this evening. Hold on. Wow, that's good. Now, see, I was starting to feel bad. I was, I gave the questions in the chat room about 100 times. We read them online here. I was getting worried. How hard is it to look this stuff up on Google? I gave people hours. I'm very pleased. Mr. Weston gave us a call and was a part of that. All right, we got on hold. We got about 4 minutes left here, and we've got another ghost story. I'm sorry, my screen is clear right now. Who am I talking to?
Hello.
Oh, Apulia, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Great, thank you very much for calling tonight. What's your ghost story?
Well, a few years ago, I stayed at a bed and breakfast in the Irish Channel of New Orleans. When I walked in, I felt as if a movie had been made there. Sort of a southern version of The Shining, maybe? The place had once been a children's orphanage in the late 19th century. It was called St. Vincent's. It was being renovated when I stayed there, and my room was on a floor that was still being done. I was the only person on that side of the floor. It was a lovely little room, and it was air-conditioned to keep out the hot New Orleans night. When the lights were turned off, it was another story, though. The energy changed. And I felt as if something started to appear before me. No, I actually saw a man appear before me, and he really was frightening to me. So I turned all the lights on, and I didn't sleep a wink that night. The next night, a friend of mine stayed with me, so everything was okay for the duration of my stay. A year later, I was watching a horror movie on TV one night that took place in New Orleans. It was the second version of Candyman. Well, guess where it was shot? In the same bed and breakfast that I spent that uncomfortable night in. That's my story.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's weird. Wow, very cool. No, so had you ever been to that area before? Oh, she's done with us, I guess. She told us her story. She's out of here. She doesn't need to talk to me anymore. All right. Do we have another call on line one with another ghost story, guys? No? They're just hanging out and chatting? Okay, good plan. All right, we've got Now, Ben's still on the line. Look at her go. She's crazy back there. Susan, maybe we'll have you talk a little bit about this, because during the time you were getting that EVP, which was really freaky with all the screams and cries, Ben was actually there.
Yeah, I'm brain dead because I've had very little sleep. We were up till 5 investigating. We were on a roll. But Ben was the other person in the room with us.
There she is. She's available now, too. Ben, can you hop on mic back there? Let's intern Ben was ghost hunting last night.
It was very cool. Okay.
All right, Ben. So now we heard the EVP that Susan got. Now explain to people, during the EVP, what happened to you? You started feeling something on your arm, right?
Yeah, I actually started feeling like this massive warmth on my left arm and kept saying, you know, my arm just feels really hot. Yeah. Walked over and said that to the other guys. And I think right at that same time was when the gravel got thrown.
Yeah, gravel was being thrown. She says, my arm is hot. And I was recording also, and that's when those lovely EVPs, we left and... you know, Ben showed us her arm, and it was pretty frightening.
Yeah, I didn't notice that it was actually scratched until we came back upstairs where it was light and could see. I just happened to look down at my arm. I'm like, yeah, because my whole arm from here to here was hot, and looked down, and I'm like, oh, okay. There's probably a reason here because there's actual scratches.
And yeah, I saw this now this morning, right? Yeah, that was weird when you rolled up your shirt when we came down for breakfast at the Palmer House.
And when you saw it, it was actually not as bad as what it was last night. Adrian got pictures of it right afterwards that shows how deep and just red all over it was.
Well, we'll post those with the party, because nothing's a party till one of us gets scratched by something from beyond.
It's never a good party until somebody gets hurt.
That's right. Well, guys, thanks a lot for coming in the studio. We've got our guests, of course, the lovely Susan Cummins from Seattle, our book critic in studio with us, national news correspondent Bree Sanders joining us this evening as well. Thank you guys for being here and being a part of the show live with us tonight.
Thank you. Yep. It's a pleasure.
And Ben, thanks a lot again for being our bait at the ghost hunt last night and taking the scratch, and we appreciate that. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. And we want to again send special condolences out to Tim Dennis, my co-host, producer, and best friend, and for the sorrow and loss of your stepfather, Leroy William Johnson. Our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family, my friend. Have a good night. We'll be back again with you tomorrow right here on 100.3. K-Talk.